Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Available on Amazon. This is Dr. Danica Applewhite, and I am coming to you live on this Saturday morning. And it's raining out here in Arizona, thunderstorms. And it's so nice to have that in the middle of all the sunny times that we have during this month. Just a little break from that sunny environment. But it's still beautiful. Everything is still beautiful. It really, I guess it just, you know, it just depends on how you want to look at life. You know, and that feeds right into the topic for today. Do you know anyone that's afraid to go to school? Do we have anxiety? What choices do we make about how anxious or worried we become about going out the door and going to school or going to work? So we're going to talk about that today, and we thank our sponsors at White Apple Institute, where differently abled students with disabilities, adult students, are able to access resources, services, then get through school, college, and workforce training programs. There's small grants available and lots of counseling resources. So make sure you tell a friend about whiteappleinstitute.org. Go in, take a look at the website, and make a donation. A donation goes to helping not only the students with small grants, but keeps our radio show going, which is a free broadcast. And we appreciate all of you out there who continuously listen to the student-to-teacher show and share information. That's what teachers do, you know. Teachers share information, students receive information. And that's why we call it the student-to-teacher show, because it's not just about the student that actually sits in the classroom or the teacher who stands in front of the classroom. It's about all of us who are teachers and students, continually evolving so that whenever we're ready to learn something about ourselves that we can teach others, we remember the philosophy that when the student is ready, the teacher within appears, and that teacher will provide messages for us. It is truly, for me, it is God's voice within. I thank you so much for all of the learning and sharing that we've been doing on this show since 2009. And I know we've talked about a variety of topics.
Ages ago.
And that is because there are so many things that inhibit people from succeeding in life. From feeling motivated, determined, persistent, tenacious. There are things that we don't discuss openly for whatever reason. And they are the very things that really underlying inhibit us from going forward. Later on in the month of April, we have Dr. Rachel Rouse will be coming on, who does a lot of work with sexuality therapy and very, very open-minded about the issue of how sexuality affects persons with disabilities and even impacts success. Yes, even sexuality, economics, relationships with children, with family, being afraid of the violence that's going on in the world. All of these things and much more affect us and affect our level of motivation and excitement about what we're doing. I mean, a lot of us have truly lost the enthusiasm that we had about going to school, finishing our college degrees, or moving forward and getting a promotion. We become stable. We become stuck. I can't help but share with you something that came across my desk not too long ago from one of my students, and it's called Footprints in the Sand. And if you're familiar at all with Footprints in the Sand, Footprints in the Sand talks about our Master, Jesus Christ, carrying someone through the storms of their life. And then when they look behind, they thought they were walking with Jesus, or whoever you portray as Jesus, and you're walking with him, and then you look behind, and there's only one set of footprints, and Jesus says, "It is then that I carried you." Well, that's the footprints. And then the other part of that is footprints. And I have to bring this up because it's so on time. What about the people who are continuously carried by their masters, by their teachers, constantly relying on someone else to carry them along? After a while, that person gets dropped on the butt. And those are the people that make butt prints in the sand as opposed to footprints. Because when you make a butt print in the sand, you are saying, "I don't want to move anymore. I don't want to do anything with my life. I don't want to go forward with my life." And sometimes we use disability as an excuse. And I've talked many times about the difference between reasons and excuses. So we must be careful that the reason why we're not doing something is reality, is true. And then we have to be clear of what we're using as an excuse in order for us not to succeed and do the things that we know in our heart make us happy. So I hope I've explained a little bit more about the student to teacher show and some of our underlying themes, our premise of the show. So we have some callers that are already online right now, and we will get to you. We appreciate you holding on. I hope you have some good things to share with us about today's episode. The question is, do you know anyone who is afraid to go to school? You know, I come up with these things with the staff of White Apple Institute because letters and emails come into us from different teachers all over the world. And these are questions that are continuously coming into us about how to deal with fear and anxiety. And there's a lot of information out there on that, and I want to share that with you this morning. Do you want to hear teachers and adult students share why they are afraid to go to school? Okay, do you want to hear it? Do you think it even applies to you? Well, it applies to all of us, because the fear that's associated with going to school is the same fear that many of us are experiencing going to churches and movie theaters and malls, going outside of the door. So this is a relevant conversation to have. Yes, even parents are dealing with anxiety about taking their children to school or any other place that is regarded as a safe haven, even churches. My goodness, is there any place that's safe anymore? Yes, there is. There's a safe place in your heart and in your mind, and that's where this program is going this morning, is we're going to teach each other how to go to a safe place in our minds and hearts, and that will keep us going in the midst of all of the chaos that's going on around in our communities and in our world. You see, it's more than just the violence that's related to this random gun shooting or the bullying that's going on in schools or in the workplace. Yes, there's bullying in the workplace. But it's about trusting the perception we hold of our educational institutions being safe, or our churches being safe, or places where we know that there's police presence being safe. There are just too many confusing issues out there about gun control and even the presence of police or teachers wearing guns in the class. These are scary thoughts for many of us. We've got to address the fear and the anxiety associated with the solutions. The solutions being presented are actually increasing some of the fear and anxiety that we're experiencing. Because, unfortunately, the media plays a very, very big part in how the situations in schools are being exacerbated. So, without further ado, I'd like to at least say hello to some of our guests who have been online for a while. We have a 215, I think that's Philadelphia. Is that right? Good morning. Good morning, 215.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning. Good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite.
Oh,
how you
man,
doing?
I'm doing good. I didn't realize I pushed the button.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. I'm glad you did. Are you in Philadelphia? Is that 215? Is that right?
Yeah. Yes. I'm in Philly.
That's wonderful. Philly, that's right. That's the place. Are you a teacher or a student?
I'm glad I see you during the day. I don't do that tune in that often. But I have scoliosis and cerebral palsy, and I've been thinking about going to school myself, but I don't think that I can do it. I just had a recent injury to my foot, which is still, which makes me even worse now.
Mind sharing your name, or may I call you?
Wesley.
Ben. What's your name?
Wesley. Yes.
Is that right? Wesley. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley, I'm so glad you're calling in this morning. Hopefully, we can help you out with at least the first step. The first step towards recognizing that there's something that you want to do.
Right.
I mean, you've already got there. So you're already taking the first step, you see. first step is paying attention.
Right, because I said if I want to do anything OD, and I want to do psychiatry or something in electronics, something that's not really physical, but I can make a lot of money.
Sure. And what we're going to do before the show ends today is we're going to make sure that my assistant will call you back, the producer of the show, Renee. She will call you back and set up an appointment so that we can start talking about how we can get you on the road. We'll get you enrolled in White Apple Institute and start helping you to see some things, okay? So you hang on the line here, Wesley, okay? I'll be coming back to you and asking your opinion about the fear that's associated with going to school today. That's our theme today. But don't hang up, okay? All right.
Okay, I'll keep listening. Thank you.
All right. We have another caller online. Good morning. Dr. Applewhite. Good morning. Just want to say good morning to everyone. If you have anything to say, please jump right in. This is Dr. Applewhite. This is 480-200 and 480-83.
This is morning. Maria. Ms.
Applewhite. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for calling in this morning. Any comments? Any comments from the 823? All righty. Well, it's good to hear from all of you this morning. Feel free to make a little not interruption. I don't call it an interruption. I call it just a gesture. If you have something to say about anything that I'm talking about this morning, I'm sure it's nice to see the switchboard lit up so early and that there are people that are willing to talk about the fear and anxiety associated with going to school. So one of the things that I do want to make sure that we focus on is the latest research that's out there, number one. There's a lot of research that's out there. Yes.
I'm sorry, but there's a lot of in the background, there's a lot of noise.
Yes.
I can't really
yeah, that's right. There is. There's someone that has their phone open. If you could mute your phone, since we do this as a group. Okay. If I could find out who that is there. Okay.
Oh, that might be me. Okay, I'm going to mute my phone.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All righty. Here we go. Let's make sure that we quote some of the things that are going on out there, that the violence in schools, okay, number one, okay, a lot of the violence that's going on in schools is not just directed at students, it's directed at teachers. And so the concern is for everyone, to be aware of their anxiety level when they think about going on a school campus, okay? So we cannot deny that there is anxiety associated with it because of the fatal shootings that have been happening. And, of course, the one at Sandy Hook Elementary School in December is probably the most tragic violence in schools that has shaken not only our nation, but the world. It wreaks havoc on all parents and all teachers and all students and all interested persons in the community.
Can't be used right now because
anxiety
for either updating
over the school violence issue is truly, truly real, and it's understood. And especially with younger children. It's understood. And I just, for a moment, I found something that I wanted to share with our listeners out there about how to talk to kids about tragic events. And I thought this was just perfect for the things that we talk about. So I'd like you just to listen to, and I want to give kudos to education.com. That's where I found this particular article. And it recognizes that kids know more than we think, and even though we think that, they're not affected by the violence that's going on in schools. They hear a lot of it, not only from their friends whose parents do let them watch, the news. But just as a whole, from their parents, from people talking, they're going to pick up things. So you look for signs of stress, and this is for all of us to look for. Okay, from I think I spoke last week or a couple of weeks ago about the sweating palms and the gritting teeth and the muscle tension, heart racing, feelings that we experience when we're talking about anxiety or panic attacks, which are very, very severe anxiety issues. Okay, with children, you may deal with nail biting or some indifferences, nightmares, even incidental bedwetting, a lot of tearing. So we need to make sure that we keep the lines of communication open, and that's for all of us to understand. We have to keep the lines of communication open to with other people in our life to make sure that we have someone who's kind of like a sounding board and a motivator. And I'll talk about that motivator in a minute, the motivator that helps us to focus
on
peaceful places, to make the choice to go to a peaceful place and relax. We need that type of person in our life. We need those type of people in our life. Sometimes it's a good idea, of course, we already know, to turn off the television, and that's for all of us. Sometimes we just need to turn off those news channels and take a rest from all of the violence that we're hearing out there. It's a lot of stuff.
Never to be shared.
You know, it's important for all of us to know what's going on in the world. I mean, we live here. We're all in the same boat. Okay, we live on this planet together.
I know, I just...
So there's... But there's certain events that truly promote this lack of hope, this hopelessness among all of us. And we've got to find ways of helping each other to know that in the midst of everything that goes on, there are some precautions that we've taken. And there's some intervention that will take place. In other words, people do live through these things. And so, yes, we are focused on the 26 or so people that were shot and killed at Sandy Hook, the students and the teachers. Of course, we're focused on everything that's in Columbine and all of the schools in Chicago and Detroit and L.A. and all over. We're focused on all of this, deaths, those innocent lives. But we're also focused on the lives that were able to walk away also. And so, in some way, we've got to find a way to, in our minds to say, you know, I know stuff is going on, and I know it hurts, and I know it makes me feel uncomfortable and very anxious, but I also know that good things happen too. I don't like the bad things, but back to that good old serenity prayer.
The radio show.
God help me to accept the things I cannot change. Can't do anything about it. I must learn how to adapt to my circumstances. And if I can develop the courage to change something in my life, to change the way I perceive violence, the way I react to violence. Not respond, but react. And sometimes we react to things, and that action within us shakes us up and makes things worse. But responding to it in a way that says, okay, that is absolutely horrible, and even allowing ourselves, if we need to, go to the extreme of crying about what's happening. I do that many times. I'm definitely an empath. I feel other people. I felt the young man Wesley this morning as he was describing his disability of scoliosis and cerebral palsy. I could feel it within me. And I know that there's a lot of fear associated with trying to go back and deal with the school, not only from his own personal perspective, but dealing with all the things that are going on in the world and around his own individual world. So we'll go back and we'll hear a little bit more from Wesley. So, but the point is that I want you to get into the mode of learning how to adapt to what's going on. And I need to, for a minute, a lot of people, my students for years, have talked about the difference between adjusting and adapting. Okay? And I came up with a great visualization of that. And let me share it with you. It's about the fact that when you are in a room with a stereo and you have a volume control, and the volume control, you can adjust volume, high or low. That's adjustment. Adjustment has a lot of different possibilities to it, choices. Adaptation, on the other hand, means that the volume button has broken. The adjust volume broken has button has broken, and it's stuck there at a certain volume. You can't get to the plug. You can't do anything. You have to adapt to the sound in the room, whether it's high or low. That's the difference. The adaptation is where we're asking for serenity to accept the things we cannot change. We are asking for peace, to accept the factor that amidst all the chaos that's going on in the world, we can still find peace. And that peace is going to help us to stay motivated, because it's part of our basic needs. I know you might say, wait a minute. Stop. Wait a minute. Basic needs are food, shelter, da, da, da. Okay. No. There's also another one. A guy named Maslow came up with it, and that is safety. Safety and a sense of belonging to other people. Belonging to society, being part of what's going on in our world. I have more to share with you about this particular situation, about being afraid and anxiety and all of those things. But for a moment, what I wanted to do was see if there's anyone that had any comments about these issues that I've been speaking about. There's another caller online of 438, Dr. Applewhite. Good morning. Good morning, 438. If you don't wish to speak, it's okay. All right, we do have a chat line open for those of you who'd like to write to us on the chat line. If you have a computer handy, if you're not just on the phone this morning, feel free to write in your question to us. We are looking at that, and we share it online. We have a number of guests that come onto the chat line every morning. So we've been talking about this fear associated with someone being afraid to go to school. And we've just finished talking about this adaptation issue. And this is Dr. Applewhite. May I say good morning to you, 363?
Good morning, Dr. Applewhite.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for calling in this morning. Do you have any comments at all to share about being afraid of going to school? Please feel free to share that with us. All right?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, it is very common that people, you know, who are maybe 30 years old, and say, I'm too old to go to school. And I just laugh so hard because when I went back to school, I was 50 years old.
Mm.
And, of course, I had a great motivation.
Wow,
but
kudos
also,
for you. Kudos for you.
Yeah, I remember that the it was a university without walls type of school system. And the first week was just orientation and building up our self-confidence. And I remember I read a book. They recommended that we read a book about the memory, how memory works. And it was just amazing, you know, that almost at any time in your life you can train your mind all over again. It was just marvelous. And so so it is normal, you know, to feel afraid, but if you take the first step, the rest of the steps will be laid down for you almost.
Wonderful, wonderful. I really appreciate that because we were talking about steps a little earlier with Wesley. And Wesley, I'm going to come back to you now after you've heard a lot of the things that I've been saying about adjusting things in your life and adapting to things in your life. The difference is that you cannot do anything about the disability that you are facing. So the only thing that you can do is look at what different abilities you have, my friend, that can help you to go to school, help you to take those first steps. Did you get that a little bit from what I've been saying this morning?
Yeah, I did.
Tell us a little bit about, if you'd like to share your age, that's fine, or your age range, and tell us a little bit about why it's been difficult for you to think about going to school. Could it be family that has not been supportive, or friends, or
no, it's just me getting my mind right and organizing myself to actually want to do it, which I think I'm starting to gear myself more and more to do. Is to go back, because I can do it online, and then it's it's either of people saying that I got cerebral palsy, that I'm slow and all that other kind of stuff. So I don't it's mental, people telling me that.
Mm-hmm. It's hard when people are telling you that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Right. They're
older than me.
Yes. And when they're telling you that, they don't tell you that even directly. They say it in different ways, don't they? Different ways that you know that that's really what they're saying.
No, they say,
say it directly, huh?
Yeah. That I'm a disabled child and, all that kind of stuff. This is abusive.
Right. Now, you went to high school and...
No, I dropped out for, it was a lot of, I call them tribal wars at my school. So I had to leave, but I did get my GED. I went to Temple University and got my GED.
Temple's a great school. I've attended Temple. Went some summer work out there.
Yes, it is.
That's where Bill Cosby went to school.
Yes, yeah. that's my hero. I believe everything that he says,
There you go. And he would be proud of you for calling the teacher show this morning, of making that first move.
Right.
So that we can help you.
Oh, yeah, because, he's a great, inspiration, because, he talks about, uplift yourself and, do for self and, stop feeling sorry for yourself, So that's what I'm all about.
That's right. And that's why, we don't focus a lot. A lot of people say to us, well, I thought your show was about students with disabilities. And no, our show is about not claiming the disability and defining yourself by it. Our show is about looking at differently abled individuals. What can you do? Okay, and helping you to reach that goal.
Right.
Do you deal with pain on a regular basis?
Oh, man, every day. I'm in pain right now.
Yes. And so that's a hindrance right there.
Yeah.
It's a real challenge for you.
Yeah. Okay. But,
trying to see myself, you know, culturally active, like when I first heard about you, when you had, you know, Dr. Umar Johnson on your show.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 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 that's when I first heard about you. And,
okay.
I've been listening off and on since then.
Well, thank you very much for being a participant today, and we will follow up with you with, definitely we talk about pain issues. I have some things coming up about dealing with pain while you're at work and trying to go to school. It is quite a challenge to do that, but it can be done. I've done it, and I'll show you how I did it, and there'll be other people that will show you how they did it, and somewhere along the line, the seeds will be dropped, and you'll find your way. You'll find your way to be able to return to school and beat the fear.
Yeah, because
Canada's free.
Right. Because that's what I'm about. Because I'm starting to, you know, set goals and for me to do that, like, you know, real goals.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm also a minister as well, and that's good. And I enjoy preaching, but I want to try to at least try to work, you know. I don't like right now I'm on SSI.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really like that. I want to be a self-made man, you know.
Yes, yes, I understand, and that's a very, very important goal. And
yeah.
So it will teach you some things about how to do that, and it's all relative, though. When I say that, I mean that everything is about what you feel you can do as an individual. How well you feel you can overcome some of the things that are going on in your life. Because just because somebody else is able to do it doesn't mean that you can do it. And you can't necessarily do it the same way they did it. You have to find your own path. And once you find your own path, oh my God, the light will shine so brightly for you.
You know, I've been through a lot of, you know, trauma in my life. You know, that's another reason. A lot of accidents that just knocked me down, you know. But
fear. Fear is a horrible thing. Like, you know, I mean, it's there. It's interesting how God, our Creator, has placed fear as part of our emotions. So it's very real. And even when we're born, we come into this world with certain things within us that help us to control the fear. Certain hormones, endorphins, that help us. And then we run out of them because we start using them so much in our lives. So we run out of them, and then we start reaching for other ways to kill the pain and to minimize the fear in our lives.
Yeah, because I always say, you know, because, you know, say like, you know, like broken home, it was violence, I was like, you know, raped and molestation and trauma like that, you know what I'm saying? That it holds me back. And for a long time I was, you know, I don't like the word, but I say, you know, I was a nigga. You know, I let it take control of me, and I wasn't doing nothing with my life. But now that I do have a sense of, you know, pride, responsibility, and all that, I'm trying to gear myself up to, you know, even do better things than what I'm doing now.
Well, Wesley, one of the reasons why I truly appreciate your call this morning is that you have defined for us in so many ways why this show is important to people. Because what you've mentioned is that there are so many different things that can happen to an individual that challenge their motivation to go to school and join the workforce and succeed at their goals, period. And so many people call them moochers, or you don't want to do anything, you're lazy, or whatever. But the bottom line is that they don't understand.
Yeah, that's not true.
Right. And we call them psychosocial issues. They're based on the psychology of the individual and their social environment.
Okay.
And so we address psychosocial issues. That's why when you look at our show and the archives in our show, we have so many different subjects. And Dr. Mark Johnson brought one of the subjects to head when he talked about racism.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I experienced that too.
And discrimination because of your disability.
Well, I've been to a white school, and the teachers, the students, the police outside didn't even like me.
Oh,
and that was on a daily basis.
That makes it very, very difficult. And that's why we need more people like you to get in touch with us so that we can help you with customizing a plan that will help you get where you want to go and to find out what you do love.
Right,
you
do right.
What you enjoy doing, because that's real important to keep the motivation going. Let's see if any of our callers have some comments for you and some encouragement.
Okay.
Okay? Any of our callers have any encouragement for Wesley this morning? Speak up. Morning, I think, step up. 4-7? Uh-huh. I can't hear you there. I'm unable to hear you at all. Let's try again.
Good morning.
Okay, good morning. 4-7. Okay.
Well, actually, I'm 47 years old, and I just recently went to sign up for school. But while I walked on campus at the community college, I was really nervous because everybody was young, and I felt like everyone was staring at me. So I was about to turn around and go back home. Cause I was, you know, nervous, scared. So, but I kind of did turn around and I went right into the office and registered. And
right.
You know, because I guess of my age, I felt uncomfortable about going back to school.
Well, ma'am, one of the things that I want to say to you in regard to that is that it's interesting how when you look around, you saw everyone, and a lot of us do that. We see a few people, and we assume that everyone is younger than us or smarter than us or whatever. So it's not unusual that you felt that way. Kudos to you for still overcoming that challenge and moving forward. One of the things that I want you to realize is if you're listening to the show at all, any of the other times and this show this morning, is that many of our listeners out there are in that same age bracket and attempting to go back to school or continue in school, avoiding dropout and burnout. We have teachers that join us that are in the same situation. And so we appreciate that you called in, but I really hope that you recognize that you are not alone and that there are other people out there and that are going through similar circumstances. And so you stay tuned in to us. And, that goes back to, Wesley, what you were saying, Wesley, about your circumstances. And I hope that at this time in your life that hopefully you have met other people that have gone through similar circumstances. If you haven't, that is one thing that we would like to start doing, is networking you with other people so that you can see that you're not alone. There are many, many people out there with disabilities, with severe disabilities. All of us have a disability. There's no perfect person. We all know that. It's depending on the severity of the disability that we notice it, outwardly notice it.
Ms. Evans,
yes, go ahead, please.
Sometimes maybe see, not everybody arrives at the same level at the same time, and sometimes I think that we as people, we allow people to hold us back, like you say, people would say things. I couldn't hear him that well, but I think he said that people would say things about him because he's terrible or whatever. Sometimes we allow people to hold us back or for the disease, because many people are jealous, many people don't want us to succeed, and they think people think, or keep a handicap, where is it going to go? Like, where is it going to get on in this life with his limitations? But sometimes people, God has to prove people wrong. And people, I mean, every one of us has to change, because there's people with jealousy, there's people with fear in their lives, there's people that has other problems in our life, and we all need to change. We all need to change our attitude, our selflessness, everything that, and I hate to speak of, I hate to bring Christianity here, but you know the Bible speaks out of things that are in our hearts that we need to ask God to change us, because we allow people to hold us back, we allow people to be mean to us, and that's part of it. We all need to change.
Now, Maria, you've been a student of YDAP Institute, and you have truly come a long way, and I appreciate you sharing with us, because you have also had to overcome, like we said, what people have told you about your own challenges with cerebral palsy. And we appreciate that you're sharing with us this that concept that one of the callers brought up about everyone look young. And a lot of times we think everyone is coming at us and making fun of us. But or putting us down or discriminating against us. Sometimes it is truly, and most of the time I have to say, it is about ignorance. Okay? And many times, people who are reflecting that it's not possible for you to even think about going to school or work or joining the workforce or being a productive citizen in our society is because they themselves feel so inadequate that if they were in the same position as you, that they would not be able to do it, okay? So they're projecting their own fear onto you. And that's what that's about. And jealousy is there also, okay? Jealousy is sometimes there for the factor that you are striving to do something that maybe they have thought about and are not able to do because of whatever issues they may have that may be emotional, okay? And here you are, a woman, a mature woman, okay, and going back to school or attempting to do something within the workforce, and you have a disability. But they don't understand that in your training, in your relationship, even with White Apple Institute and your church, okay, and the people that you have built as your network in your life, that you have learned how to overcome that talk, even though you know it's there. So kudos to you for sharing that. Never let anyone pull you down. Okay? You got it? We don't quit. Keep going forward. We're not going to let fear take a hold of us, no matter what we're dealing with in our lives. We have the ability to make a choice. And the choice goes back to what we were talking about a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Asking for the serenity to accept the things we cannot change. And the courage to change the things that we can. To prepare ourselves as students, prepare ourselves to receive information, and then prepare ourselves to share information so that we can help another person along the way. That is how we progress from student to teacher. All of you are ready to progress from student to teacher by just the mere fact of you participating in the show this morning. And we thank you for the kudos that are coming through on the chat line. We appreciate that. One of the questions that's coming up is how do I deal with the fear when I have been subjected to school shootings. And I'm a teacher.
And Ms. Apple, I wanted to say also that I want to thank you because when I met you, you gave me the opportunity to get together with people that I didn't even understand. I mean, I don't understand English completely, but I was so afraid, if you remember, to even
yes.
speak a word in the radio. And,
yes.
and I can do it a little bit better now. So,
oh,
it?
Much better.
So
much better.
I even though I don't understand everything that you guys said, but at least I can say something and be a hope, I can be a blessing to somebody that is hearing me too, you know, like listening, that this is the first time, you know, that we're not alone, like Ms. Apple said, and we have a God that is able to help us along the way.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. We appreciate you saying that because there's nothing more important than being able to see your progress and see what you wanted to do. You see, we can't do anything unless we want to do it, unless we're being forced, of course. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we as human beings do what we do because there's a desire inside of us to do it. And we also feel a sense of reward. We're not going to move forward and do something where we don't feel a reward for it. So that's why it's so important for us to know what we do like to do first. We know that we want to go to work and we want to contribute and we want people to respect who we are. First of all, we want to respect ourselves when we look in the mirror. But most importantly, we want to be able to really choose something that we're going to love to do. So that's why it's important that as I was hearing Wesley, and I hear many, many students do it, Wesley, you're not the only one, to say, you know, you have different interests, like psychiatry, and you have an interest in being an electrician, possibly. Okay, so there's a lot of different interests, but finding that one that's going to keep you motivated because you love it, because you enjoy it so much, is the key.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, I think... Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh. Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I think it might be psychiatry because, you know, ever since I was younger, I've been interested in, like, you know, human thought. And it's crazy because at the same time, I didn't have high esteem for myself, but at the same time, people would come to me. I mean, grown folks would come to me and tell me their
mm-hmm.
problems, and I would help them out.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, wow, I was really, you know, I'm really smart, and I still am. It's just things, you know, that beat me down. But
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, I've been, you know, knocking a lot of walls down, and this is the next wall that I need to knock down.
Mm-hmm. And this is a step. This is a step in that direction. Just knowing that the possibilities exist. Okay, they exist out there.
Last year, it's another school, University of Penn, they have a tutorship program. They help, they help people in the community,
uh-huh.
you know, their education and start going about the college. But I got, you know, discouraged because I wasn't like, oh man, this is, you know, a lot of, you know, discipline and it's going to be studying. But in order to do that, you have to have a schedule.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I do have an old, a GED book
mm-hmm.
that I'm gonna start going through that.
Good.
And just, you know, refresh my mind. Because the other thing I was telling the teacher, I said, you know, math, it was never my favorite subject. And I felt, you know, dumb or stupid because I didn't know it.
Well, one of the things that you'll learn, and I'm sure maybe Professor Stetti may jump in on this one here, is that one of the things that you'll learn through your communication with White Apple Institute and through hopefully listening to the show is that there is no stupid. There is no stupid. There are different levels of learning and different intelligences, okay, different ways to be intelligent. And sometimes it's not just the academic route. Sometimes it's not just the school route. Some people are good at different things, like an electrician. May not go and get a college degree, but he's excellent, A-plus certification in electricity. That's intelligence.
Yes.
Okay? So whenever we feel those feelings come up about being stupid or dumb or any of those things, we have to look at what we are comparing ourselves to. And then determine what our value is. And those are some steps that we have to go through in pulling together your plan. See, it's not just about registering for school. It's about getting all the other things in line in your life. The plan. Making out the plan. Not just the schedule for your classes, but the plan of how you're going to deal with your fear, with your questions, with your pain, and so many other things going on, and the traumas that you've experienced in your life, how you're going to deal with that. Professor Stetti, do you have anything that you wanted to add to that?
Well, Professor Apple, what I was thinking is that in all of this, what's very important, of course, is that you have the network. Is that the way you say it? And the support of other people, and this is a channel that we can all access the show on Saturdays, and the White Apple Institute that will give us support and encouragement, and of course the tangible, specific plan is also very important, and I shared the other day about this wonderful doctor that has found out that we can change our lives, change our whatever problems we have by developing a new pathway for our brain to start growing in a different direction. And
yes,
slowly,
you want to share something with us. Yes, thank you. Uh-huh.
Yeah, slowly, you know, with consistency and patience, we can really change our lives. Because it all, you know, the brain is so important. Because even our thoughts, the way we think of ourselves, it influences what we can do in life.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this plan, and I'm following it on internet. It's called Back in Control by Dr. David Hanscom. And
Back
I'm just
in
beginning,
control.
But I already see a new horizon, you know, opening for me. So,
well, listen,
and of course, the support of people.
Well, we are going to follow up with that, and hopefully you will call back in next week or the week after, whatever, and share more on that because it sounds very interesting. If you want more information on the book that Mr. Stetti is talking about, please make sure you contact us at whiteappleinstitute.org or call us in Arizona at 480-471-8082. We thank White Apple Institute for our sponsorship today. We say hello and thank you to all of our veterans out there and hope that they're listening to some of the things that we have talked about this morning. Remember that we are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. This is by Marianne Williamson's and Nelson Mandela's speech. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, Wesley, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same, Maria. Thank you all this morning for tuning in to the Student to Teacher Show. This is Dr. Applewhite signing out. And thanks, Wes Ricks, for his beautiful flute music that we're going to close with now in his album, Two Worlds.
Thank you.
Much love and
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.